Greetings, citizens, and welcome to another episode of No Gods, No Mayors. I'm your mayor for this episode, and my name, it's Matty Lipchansky. And I'm joined, as ever, by my deputy mayor's deputy friends, two deputy heroes of mine, November Kelly and Riley Quinn.
Hello.
Hello, girls.
It's a deputy pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I've brought us a very beautiful guy today, a real capital G kind of guy. But first, I believe we have a little segment that we like to call Municipal Roundup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to start us off, because I have a recent item. I've been handed this today. And this is the rare thing. This is a good item. This is a sort of like profile in mayoral courage, like the mayor of Newark fighting ICE. So in Budapest, as we're aware, in Hungary, things are very, very bad because the government of Hungary is very fascist and very homophobic and all of this. And so one of the things that they tried to do was to ban the Pride Parade in Budapest, which is, to my knowledge, the only one in the country. Obviously, like, big city, much more liberal. And so the mayor of Budapest, and I apologize for the pronunciation, but my best guess is Gheorghe Corocsony. He sort of like told people to like, he tried to organize it as a municipal event, and he tried to sort of like tell people to defy the ban, which they did, and 200,000 people came out. Fantastic.
Wow. Right? And that's quite good.
Yeah, it's huge. And Orban and his people made like a huge deal out of how they were going to like fine people and prosecute people. They haven't yet, but they have prosecuted our mayor, Corocsony. And so he has gone from being investigated to they have now charged him with like holding an illegal pride parade for which he might get fined. And his statement on this is, "I was a proud suspect, now I'm a proud defendant. I will never accept nor resign myself to the idea that in my homeland it could be a crime to stand up for freedom. I will never tolerate this, and despite every threat and every punishment, I will fight it, because when people who want to live, to love, to be happy are simply betrayed by their own country, betrayed by their government, resistance is a duty." So,
damn.
The Green Party mayor of Budapest is my mayoral profile and courage.
Yeah, the No Gods, No Mayors podcast salutes you.
Absolutely.
You are the one mayor of the week.
Yes, you are. You are our, look, it says no mayors. We can have one.
We can have one. And it's this guy right now. That rocks.
I feel like I'm going to get like maybe, because I've been trained by interacting with the fans that I'm going to get messages from people being like, you know, I'm Hungarian and this guy sucks for different unrelated reasons. And it's just like a kind of cool thing he did. I hope it isn't. Maybe he's just nice. And I really want to sort of hold in my heart the kind of openness, the ability to think that this guy is just straightforwardly like, yeah, good man. Good green man.
I'm a proud suspect is so good. And I'm going to be carrying that forward with me. I award this guy the Magyar spirit of Johnny Corncob. And that's my one thing I know about Hungary. Okay.
So before, I think I think Sam, can we have some retrospectively, maybe some rare good mayor music?
Yeah, some profiles some courageous music. You know,
some
the kind that they
music.
Use in like American movies to indicate the troops. You know the one I mean, with the like distant mournful horns.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
can we
absolutely.
Get some distant mournful horns, Sam.
That shit is playing in Sicario 2. Every 10 minutes, it's crazy. Every time they're like extrajudicially executing a guy, they've got the fucking West Wing 2 Cathedrals music.
It is so funny to me that they thought that the reason Sicario 1 was successful was Taylor Sheridan and not Denis Villeneuve.
Sam, can you illegally play the West Wing theme here?
Okay, item. We have, this was sent in by, I'm looking here at my notes.
I have one more item for our profiles in mayoral courage before
please.
We go to the normal item.
Sorry.
Two profiles?
No, it's a sub. This is an
two
errata.
Two cathedrals?
I'm seeing double here, four cathedrals. This is a sub. One thing I wanted to append to our profile in mayoral courage.
Okay.
Is that the other thing I like about this guy, in addition to the good stuff, is that he is a member, the political parties he is and has been a member of have the most European proportional representation political party names ever.
Oh, have you seen the logo? Because my partner who sent this to me sent me the logo of the party, just speech bubble that appears to say Zoldek.
Zoldek. Yeah, Zoldek.
Well, no, the mayor of New York City.
See, the other one is that the National Green Party is just called Politics Can Be Different.
Oh,
amazing. By
the way, this is foreshadowing for later in the episode, and I'm not joking.
Okay. By the way, but he also could have been a member of another political party that was just called Together 2014, but decided to instead join Dialogue for Hungary.
This is the light side dialogue version of the far right European party that's called WOW with an exclamation mark.
By the way, Dialogue for Hungary is what it's called when I text my wife, "What do you want for dinner?" Thank you. I will be here the entire episode.
The spirit of the Catskills lives on.
Riley, just say Jewish. It's taken forever. Okay.
Item.
I'm checking my notes here, and this was sent to me by every member of the planet Earth. Every human being.
It was sent to you by every member of the planet Earth, including Zoldek Mamdani, who by coincidence is named the name that I came up with as a bit on the last item.
Okay. Dateline, the Philippines. Okay. A mayor of the Philippines narrowly escaped death after officials say he was ambushed by a gang of assailants armed with a rocket launcher.
There's video of this shit. It's so fucking good. They fire, like, a guy gets out of the tiniest van you've ever seen and fires an RPG at the mayor's Toyota Land Cruiser like it's GTA.
Yeah.
And it just tanks it. Huge Toyota victory, I have to say.
Two hit points.
Absolutely. My favorite thing is that it's like the mayor, whose name was Ahmad Ampatuan, who was the mayor of a town called Sharif Aguak. I'm butchering those, I'm sure. He called for, after this, a heightened security detail.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think they would use a gun that large. An RPG is not something an ordinary person uses. This was professional. Oh, yeah?
I'm gonna need a second Land Cruiser constructed around my existing Land Cruiser. The thing is, they also further to the Sicario-ness of this, the three guys who fucked up the hit were then like found dead, with the implication that whoever had given them the RPG to do this was very displeased, and they were not in an organization that tolerated failure.
A fourth subject is at large. Which this is the beginning of the Dark Knight, I think. Maybe.
I think so.
Is that the last Joker made off?
I think so.
And that was the real Joker. So the accomplices apparently were an uncle and a cousin and a sibling.
Are you suggesting this was an LMFAO shaped gang?
Well, so generally speaking, for like an anti-tank role, you want like multiple people on a team, and an uncle nephew relationship is kind of a perfect dynamic to build that around, you know?
Right. Sure. This is also not the first time this mayor has been attacked. In 2010, he was the victim of...
Probably not. You don't start with the RPG, do you? You can't, no, he was, like, you've got to escalate to that.
Yeah, like a union, like a proper union. In 2010, he was the victim of a roadside bombing. And then in 2014 and 2019, he was the victim of two separate ambushes.
That's a logical progression of like use of force from like gun, bomb, RPG. I get that. This makes sense to me.
Look, they pull a knife, you pull a gun. He shoots an RPG at your Land Cruiser, you kill all three of the assailants.
My favorite bit here is that
the Filipino way.
Yeah, the Philippine National Police spokesperson says, quote, "The first angle we are looking at is local tension related to local politics, which may have resulted in this."
That's so smart.
Oh, that's
so
smart
to start with the locality.
I think it's something locally is happening, that they're trying to kill the mayor every 5 minutes.
It's so cool that bumbling cop is a thing in every culture now. It's just like, yeah, we were thinking that it might be related to his being the mayor activities.
Yeah, he was the survivor of an explosion related throwing of a bomb. Yeah.
I, uh, The assailant exited an extremely cute style van.
A grenade involved rocket propelling.
There it is.
I have several favorite things about this. One of them is that the guy shooting the RPG wearing flip-flops. He did not establish a good base. He did not plant himself properly.
If ever there was a weapon designed for everyone on Earth to use, flip-flops.
Yeah.
If ever there was a weapon designed for, yes, Zoldek Mamdani.
Imagine what you'd hear for that if you were standing nearby. It would be the screech of the world's smallest, most snub-nosed Japanese-looking van. And out of it, then just like five or six flip-flop flaps, and then bang!
Working in the mayoral assassination Foley room, where like screech, sliding door, plap, plap, plap.
Hold on, wait. What's important is that the recoil from the RPG, flip-flops don't have anything at the back of the foot, right? So the recoil from famously. The RPG would make you slide backwards out of your own shoes.
All right, we got to check on the main Philippine clown schools. Round them all up. These were clearly some very top. The other thing I love about it's the van.
Yeah.
Like when I saw this van, I was like, this is a November style car.
I think so. I was pleased that I brought it up first because it shows that I independently recognized this is a funny vehicle to conduct an assassination from.
Oh man. I
know we're talking about Sicario 2. Like let's. Because we've all, in Sicario 2, of course, the...
a movie everyone has seen, of course, including me. Sure, let's go.
The corrupt Mexican police with their, like, technicals that they escort the guys with.
Yeah.
They turn, let's replace those trucks. Let's replace that with this van.
Yeah, I think so. Tiny, really tiny van with a gun turret on the top.
The technical?
Yeah. Oh,
now that's a listen to blood work if I've ever seen one.
Yeah. The van is pointing its gun at you saying listen to blood work, and I've been handed a cheese sandwich.
If we're plugging podcasts, can I plug Victoria's new podcast here?
Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
maybe the best named podcast I've ever seen in my life.
Best named, best like design for the art. It's called Trangirlismo.
Yep, there it is.
It's Victoria and her friend Jordan Hofstadter, who is also great in her own right. And they are both car journalists, and they're talking about how car culture got that way and why it's bad. I'm excited to go on. I think you should listen to it. In no way connected with the sort of like broader universe, but you know what? It's in the constellation. Bigger than a unit. Anyway.
I think Victoria counts as friend of the show.
Absolutely friend of the show.
Yeah. We should find like the most vehicular mayor.
Oh.
And see if, like
a mayor that could turn into a car?
Yeah. You know, like a mayor in disguise.
I'm Googling car mayor right now.
Is Optimus Prime a mayor? What's the name of the planet? Whatever.
I Google car mayor and of course I get the RPG assassination.
I hate Google. It's useless. Right.
Okay. We're getting wildly off topic here.
Doc Hudson in cars is a mayor.
Okay. Enough. We're done with the municipal roundup. We're moving on to the mayor. Beautiful items. Wonderful items. A bouquet of beautiful items. Fragrant each. That's where I went with it.
Fragrant each.
Fragrant
it's so nice.
Play us out with the West Wing theme. If only there were a podcast about rewatching the West Wing. I think that might be entertaining and popular.
Okay. So I got us this guy. The Mayor Tankulus dropped this one on my lap via his instrument, listener Holden, who I thank profusely for sending this in. And I'd like you both to come with me. Yeah.
So are we just confirming that a listener called Holden from Australia sent this to you? And that, because this is an Australian mayor.
And you've destroyed my joke.
Shit, no, fuck.
You fucking asshole.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Leave it in. I want everyone to know.
It's fine. People are saying it's the like least judiciously edited podcast.
Anyways, come with me. Yeah. To the island nation of Australia is what my joke was going to be, which is not that good of a joke, and now it's ruined. It's fine, Riley.
Their home is girt by sea. It's literally girt.
It's girt. Okay, so today, I like to do Context Corner, as you know. So today, we are heading to the city of Townsville. Yes. You have heard me correctly. It is not the setting for the Powerpuff Girls, which is literally the city of Townsville. The city of Townsville is a real town city in Australia.
Australian Powerpuff Girls.
Australian Powerpuff Girls. I can't even conceive of what's going on down there.
Well, I think it might sound a little something like this.
Sugar spice, whatever they're nice.
There you go, perfect.
There it is, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you for jumping on that mayoral RPG for me, Riley.
Yeah.
Nope, it is just propelling me towards the great land cruiser in the sky.
I love that song.
Yeah, the Philippine space program was an abject failure.
They tried going horizontal to the wrong direction. Space is up. Yeah. Guy who knows one thing about space and its orbital velocity is like, well, if we can accelerate the mare fast enough laterally.
That would work, yeah.
Yeah,
technically. Look, anyways.
First Filipino astronaut, it's still open.
It's not
incitement.
Yeah. So it is technically a local government area in the state of Queensland, which is like up the coast in the northeast corner of the continent. The LGA encompasses both the city itself and a few surrounding rural areas and suburbs, including something called Magnetic Isle, which I looked into, and Captain Cook called it Magnetical Island, which I love.
Even older timier, the Magnetical Island. Its full name is Magnetical Island. So we're in the various towns and villes of Townsville.
Yeah. So at the turn of the century, the city is actually famous for its support of municipal socialism. They've got like anarchist aldermen in the 30s, the first Australian communist to ever hold office as an alderman in Townsville. Mm-hmm. Another quick tangent. The Australian Labor Party has this huge split in the 40s over whether or not to support the Soviet Union, like a lot of left parties do. And the pro-Soviet half of the schism, the North Queensland Labor Party, holds on to that council. So that's how communist they are there. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Pro-Soviet enclave in Queensland?
Yeah.
I am pretty sure that the if you go communist Australia in Hearts of Iron 4...
We did that. We did that on a stream several years ago.
You think it's this guy that you would play from Townsville.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who his name, but I think it was this guy.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
we gave him a sort of like faux Australian nickname, like Waro.
Yeah, Waro, Shago, etc.
Sure.
And the rest.
Townsville has, from the 80s onward, like a town council that's completely controlled by the Labor Party, but in 2008, it suffers a landslide defeat by the local Conservative Party called, and again, I have to stress that I'm serious, and this is what a local party is called, Team Tyrell. A party led by, would you believe it, a guy named Les Tyrell.
Oh, this is one of those like Australian, like based around one person slates.
Yeah, there's like a ton of them. So there's actually a very Toronto coded series of events here where in 2008, the local municipality like hoovers up all the suburbs into itself. And suddenly citywide, they're electing conservatives to office instead.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's like, please vote for my party. One guy. That's the name of the party.
In 2012, they buck the trend, and Team Jenny Hill, the political party of one Jenny Hill, a Labour politician, takes it back.
It's going to be like fucking like 70s Formula One in this, like privateer political parties.
Labour takes back basically the entire council and the mayoralty, which she holds on to for 12 years, including a refutation of something called Jane Artlett's team in 2016.
More teams than like a deprived area in the west of Scotland.
I'm curious if
it's not going to get anything from you. It's fine. That's fine. I don't care.
You've just said gobbledygook to me.
Yeah, I have. I'm sorry.
So I'm curious about all the team ones and if they were right in, please, because I'm actually legitimately curious. When did Australian political parties start getting called Team X? And do you think it's influenced by Twilight fandom? I'm legitimately curious. Legitimately. Okay. So Jenny Hill of Team Jenny Hill has a scandal in 2020 where she's charged with hitting and killing a motorcyclist. She is found not guilty.
That's illegal in Australia?
Yeah, well, she was found not guilty because the motorcyclist was speeding and also ran a red light and also was on meth at the time.
I mean, that's pretty, it's a bit table stakes.
Sort of, I don't want to do the hack jokes. Oh, fucking hell. Jesus.
Is it called a hack joke when you cough?
Yeah, I don't want to do the hack jokes about Australia being like the PvP continent, but like sometimes they just hand them to you.
Sometimes they really do. Anyways, the city of Townsville, as it stands now, it's just shy of 200,000 people. The other thing to know is that it's like
more
a serious
of a town, really.
Yeah, it's
200,000 people live in now. It's a Townsville.
Yeah, one of the biggest army bases in the country, called the Laverick Barracks, is just outside town. So it's a big military city. It is often referred to as like the capital of the Australian military or the country's largest Garrison.
Oh, rancid vibes. Australian Catterick?
Yeah, they call it the Garrison City.
Australian Aldershot?
Yeah, like a crazy, like if, something like 5% of the town is either ADF or veterans.
Yeah, what if we made like Australian San Diego and it was one of the most remote places in the world? Great.
Essentially, yeah, I was asking a good Australian friend of mine, shout out to my old NIB colleague, Larry Harris, what like the vibes of Queensland are like, because I admittedly know less about that than I do about like New South Wales or Canberra or whatever. And she said they referred to it as the Deep North. So just imagine that moving forward.
My knowledge of Queensland is that spiritually, if not literally, everyone there is some level of the police.
Yeah. So they've invented Police Alabama, I think is what.
I was going to say Police Israel. It's kind of like you move there if you have like a policingness of spirit, you know?
Sure.
You go on. You go on birth warrant to the Sunshine Coast.
There it is. Yeah. Good, good, good.
Queensland also is the Australian hooning capital. People will know that I find this very funny.
Which is sort of like hoon versus cop. That's why it's kind of interesting to have the kind of hoon insurgency in the spiritual home of the cop.
Mm. Well, that's quite right. Yeah, but this is hooning, for those of you who don't know, is where you drive your terrible car in such a way that you destroy it recreationally. And then the police try to take it from you and destroy it non-recreationally.
But a little bit recreational.
And the war's actually been going on for thousands of years.
Again, like Twilight. I'm Team Hoon.
You're Team Hoon. So in 2024, let's talk about our guy, whose name is Troy Thompson, by the way. We've not mentioned that. So in 2024, Jenny Hill finally loses her grip on the mayoralty to this guy. And who is he? He is a local businessman.
Does he have a team?
He does not have a team. He is the owner of something called iPro, which is like a supply chain management company. I don't know. But he gets involved in something called My Place Australia. My Place Australia or My Place.
Mm-hmm. Me when I'm trying to explain where I'm from and I'm Australian, but I can't talk it.
Yeah. It is colloquially called in Australia, just My Place. It is a loose amalgamation of like local conspiracy theory Facebook groups across the country.
Oh, so this is kind of like a team uncle. It's kind of like a team, like guy at work you don't like talking to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So conspiracy theories about what? Like your standard, like sovereign citizen kind of stuff, but also you name it, like COVID vaccines, 5G, chemtrails, fluoride, wind turbines, climate change, renewable energy, smart cities, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. It's Tim Farron team.
Yeah. I hate to quote Wikipedia on the show as always, but I've got a killer sentence. Quote, while founder of My Place Australia, this guy named Bergwerf, which I won't talk about, has condemned neo-Nazism, he has stated that he is, and okay, the next words are for a link, unsure whether or not the Holocaust actually occurred, and the link is to the page for Holocaust denial.
He's just like, for me, the jury's still out. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. That's not a crime, yeah. Right?
He said the reason
is... It's not denial.
The reason was he wasn't there when it happened.
Well, hey, you know what? I think I'd rather trust the word of someone who definitely wasn't involved.
Yeah, well, less likely to be a Nazi because he's explicitly said that he wasn't there when like it was happening.
Exactly.
I think the thing is, this is like my favorite mode of being a Nazi is the kind of like, what is truth anyway, kind of thing. But having to present it in this kind of like Australian blokey way where it's like, yeah, I reckon I don't know.
Yeah.
Look, can't say anything. I don't even know if I was born. I don't remember.
It's a purely subjective experience.
Who's to say the color blue I see is the same as yours?
Look. Mate, I reject Cartesian dualism, all right.
Fuck. All right, crucially, My Place Australia also contests elections. They're like endorsing and they're leafleting and like, it's like, what if QAnon had a DSA?
They should. They should do.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Please.
Aren't these people such paranoid obsessives that the moment they stop being exactly the same, they start betraying each other?
That's actually not what happens to this guy. Shockingly. Really? Well, that's a little bit. He gets a little betrayed, but not so much by a different team.
Some light betrayal.
Just a little bit betrayed.
Yeah, a little betrayed. One of you will betray me a little bit. just a little bit. So anyways.
But this guy, he is a follower of Bergwerf.
He's a follower of Bergwerf.
He's a friend of Bergwerf.
He's a Bergwerfian, let's say.
He's follow- following Bergwerf thought, explaining politics to an Australian, imagine a Bergwerf. So he's in this, he's like this QAnon DSA guy. And in 2020, he's My Place's guy for the Queensland State Parliament for Thurngawa, which is one of the suburbs that's been like sucked up into Townsville. He's the, he is the official candidate for the One Nation party.
Oh, Team Pauline Hanson.
Yep. Team Pauline Hanson's One Nation.
One of the biggest of the teams.
Yeah, which is like, they're like, you know, your standard like far right slop kind of party. It's like Australian nationalists. They're against any sort of treaty with the Australian Aboriginal population. They're anti-abortion. They want to pull out of the UN Refugee Convention, the UN in general, the WHO, and the Paris Climate Accords.
Yeah, cool party. But like, again, the weirdness of this kind of like single politician thing is that like, it does all the kind of like generic fascist stuff that anyone does, but it's focused around one woman with the worst haircut in the world.
She really does have a terrible haircut. Did you see that graph going around the other day that they were like polling slightly better? But they made the graph look like they were winning, but they were losing by 12 points, and it was really beautiful.
Yeah, I love it. Pauline Hanson's haircut is sort of like if you got...
It's quite bad.
If you only let a straight man cut your hair, and also you kept sort of like ambushing him by like detonating like stun grenades near him every so often.
Launching RPGs at him, yeah.
Yeah.
And flip-flops.
Yeah, it's actually the only haircut to have been done in a moving car with an RPG getting fired out of one of the windows.
She was the fourth suspect.
Yeah. So he's running in 2020.
The other three.
Yeah, remarkably popular, by the way.
Yeah. Like they're polling like 25%.
Like, because full force, like people will be like, I love this fucked up, evil looking woman and her racist policies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's Australian reform basically, right?
Yeah.
Sure. So he is in 2020, One Nation's guy for, yeah, the state parliament. For one of these suburbs, but he pulls out 2 months before the October 31st election for personal reasons.
Musical differences.
Or were they? Because it comes to light that he was disendorsed. The Guardian Australia found a letter revoking the endorsement on September 21st. The letter said that Thompson had failed to disclose a previous name he was known by, did not reveal
Zoltek.
His... Zoltek Mondami. Yeah. He did not reveal his role as director of iPro Solutions before it was placed in the hands of administrators. And he did not tell the party about an insolvency report about the company.
Oh, listen, we've all used different names at different times in our lives. We've all been bankrupt sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And we've lied about not having certain company directorships.
Yeah, a broke guy who keeps changing his name. I know a lot of those. In a social media post, Thompson said he changed his name to Birnbauer after he married a German woman in 1996 and took a surname, quote, as she was the last in her family line.
Square brackets unwokely. I took my wife's surname.
Yeah, but for unwoke German reasons.
Yeah, I took my wife's surname to sound more Nazi so that I could better follow Bergwerf thought.
They divorced in 2015, by the way.
So he's single.
Yeah, he's single, ladies. So in 2024, when he's running, he starts running for the mayoralty, the Thurngawa member of parliament, a Labour guy, reads the letter into the record saying Thompson needed to come clean because also he is banned from Queensland Parliament entirely.
Like the building?
Yes.
Like for drunken disorderly, like someone would be banned from a bar?
Thompson was banned from the Queensland Parliament precinct by the Speaker in 2021 after he uploaded a photo in 2020 of his campaign leaflet being held above a sign reading member for Thurngawa over that guy's office door. Like he went into the building and like put his own name over the actual member of parliament's name.
They like ban you from parliament for doing a bit.
Yeah. And he was visiting a One Nation member of parliament at the time.
I have to be honest. I think this is excessive.
It's a little excessive, but it's also, you know, I will say like campaign misconduct, I think maybe, I don't know.
Guess to me, if he's like, it depends on the context, but pretty clearly if you're like, that's going to be me because I'm going to replace this guy. That's just electioneering. Yeah.
It seems like they're really attached to norms some of the time electorally in Australia. Like they seem really attached to it.
Yeah. And like the norms are also like real bad, you know?
Well, yes. Yeah. So, you know, but he is disendorsed by One Nation. And he keeps saying that he withdrew.
This is unfortunate to me because I feel like I don't want to sympathize with this guy, but to me, he is the punished chud. this chud has been wronged.
This chud has been wronged. You know? He also, there was like some domestic violence issue that he was never charged.
Fuck it. Okay. Never mind. Ban him from parliament. I don't care anymore.
But he said, he says he faced a charge, but was not convicted and it did not involve physical violence.
I don't care.
He described the incident as low level and he said he maintained a friendship with the other person. So who knows what that possibly could have been.
Unless it's literally like I got autistic and started screaming when there was no one else in the room. Like, I don't know. This is bad. This is not bad, good. I think.
Yeah. Like, it's because it's, you know, it did not involve physical violence. What he wants you to think about is, oh, it must have just been a rap battle. But no. It was not lyrical violence.
You're not supposed. Yeah, the word battle and rap battle is not operative in that way.
Yeah, I want you, the listener, to imagine the 8 Mile climactic rap battle, but everyone has Australian accents.
One rap battle after another. I mean, I think the thing is trying to defend yourself
I am a bum. Oh, but I know something fucking about you.
Trying to defend yourself by being like. No, it was like it was more of an Eminem and 8 Mile situation, you know.
Yeah,
Eminem in his real life situation. It was an Eminem and 8 Mile situation. The character B Rabbit.
No, you don't understand. I was only emotionally abusive.
Yeah, I was yelling at my MP, which is what I say when I'm talking about Mekhi Phifer. come on, that's good. That's really good. It's really, really good. Anyways.
I'm sorry. I've fried my own brain by imagining a guy named Zoldek Mamdani. I'm the only one who finds it funny. I can only articulate it in terms of the meme that has like Biden and Trump photoshopped into a third guy with a green tie on the debate stage. Like, and I may try and do that. I may try and like face app Mamdani and Cuomo into a third guy.
I mean, I'd love to see a little bit of fan art of Zoldek.
Yeah, called Zoldek.
All right. Thompson is also a military guy, and he's running for office in this military city.
Wow, a military guy's a Facebook psycho? That's crazy.
Yeah, he's the veteran of three signal squadrons, and including the Australian SAS.
Okay, so a little bit of context here. The Australian Special Air Service Regiment. Do a lot of war crimes, have been caught doing a lot of war crimes, like on the like helmet cameras and everything, like right up to the sort of like highest levels. This is true of British special forces and American special forces,
of course,
obviously, as well.
That's why they're special.
But like by reputation in terms of like not bothering to cover up your war crimes, real bad. Right. So like this is we're contextualizing this guy and his like actually I was doing rap battle bits with my German wife very much in the sort of vein of, guys in this guy's regiment have been like filmed like executing prisoners out of hand kind of thing.
Yeah. So that's his backstory. During the campaign for mayor, he really taps into the My Place Thurungawa or MPT. The local, you know, QAnon DSA chapter. I mean,
there's something about being like an SF guy that really does like fry your brain in this way. Or either that or like it selects for guys whose brains are already fried so they don't mind sort of like hiking for like 50 miles or shit like that in like a day. I don't know what it is, but they're really being that kind of person. Maybe it's like a bunch of like traumatic brain injuries or like just regular trauma from doing war crimes, but like you kick in enough doors for a living and pretty soon you're like, yeah, chemtrails are real.
Yeah. So he says on social media after meeting with MPT, community is my passion and it was undoubtedly motivating to be able to speak with such a range of like-minded individuals who want to see change. I'm unable to do this alone. So he, you know, the Guardian Australia has also seen messages on this encrypted app where an MPT member announces that the group they were keen to support Thompson. And other independent candidates who attended their meetings. He's running as an independent because he's been disendorsed by Fawn. So with the right...
It's like this guy plausibly, right, could have done actual war crimes. And then he gets the like Australian sort of like state, like sort of wagging its finger at him for holding up a sign outside like an MP's office is very... Yeah. Feels very typical to me.
The norms, baby. With the right independence and council, we have a chance to address fluoride, 5G, cashless initiatives, smart city plans, and WHO, WEF/UN control.
Yeah, the full slate, the whole thing. The like, go off your meds and like shoot at the cops when they come and try and welfare check you, slate.
Yeah. We have the chance to run the town council in the same way that Fed Smoker would have. I think we can all agree.
I really like the idea of like Chud virtue signaling, where they do like a bunch of the stuff that like Labour councils in the 70s did, where it's like Townsville is a fluoride free zone.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like stuff that they don't really have any power to do, but it's like kind of symbolic, where they like Townsville pledges to like shoot down the WEF chemtrail planes.
Or like I Chud virtue signaling is something that's really tickled my brain. Whatever the unwoke version of Instagram is, like they all on the same day post like black squares and just it. If you have to really research to find out why they've done that, like yeah. Just say fluoride was invented. Why have they done all of this?
It's the victims of fluoride memorial.
I'm doing a social media blackout for like the vaccine injured.
I'm centering the voices of women who are recreationally shaking on camera, claiming it was the vaccine.
I'm doing a land acknowledgement for all the white people that died here.
No, they'll do that. That actually sounds like they'll probably do that.
Yeah.
So the member laid out a coordinated approach, asking for volunteers to attend polling booths, stand with signs, how to vote cards, do lettered box drops, and act as scrutineers to oversee the vote count, which is a cool word that I like.
And they're doing this in secret, which is a thing that I like because it's evil, where they're like, we're the hidden hand, right? No one's going to see my place there and go as like the, you know, people sort of like influencing this. We're just going to be like friendly, ordinary, normal people going undercover to influence you to vote for our guy who is going to stop the fucking chemtrails.
Yeah, Queensland is also the only state in Australia where they let the local authorities decide whether or not the water is fluoridated.
Oh, shit. Now it's actually in their power, I'm against. See, it's only funny if it's not, right?
Yeah,
like, if the local, like, government is like, this thing that we have no power to do, we're going to do that, you know? Yeah. We will citizens arrest Klaus Schwab if he comes to Townsville.
So there are 77 councils in Queensland. Only 26 of them have fluoride in the water. Thompson told an interviewer at something called the North Queensland Freedom Network that water quality in the city was an issue. There's the quality of water, which is fluoride. How many times you taste the water and one week it's good, next week it's not. One week it's this color, the next week it's not. My view on it.
What does this guy's teeth look like?
sometimes during the day, the WEF makes the sun go in the sky, and other times in the day, they take it down.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is a terrifying looking man. I'm sorry. This is like a kind of like war crimes tulpa. He looks like someone chatified the TF2 sniper. This is horrifying.
He's not good to look at.
No. Jesus. Teeth pretty good though.
Teeth are fine. Yeah, well, that's because Townsville has fluoride in the water.
I mean, you say chatified TF2 sniper. I'm saying he looks like an Ozempic John Cena.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a very Ozempic.
He took Ozempic and now you can see him. My view on the water is that it's too chlorinated. It's simply too chlorinated. The interviewer then told Thompson, I can't help but feel that forced fluoridation is in breach of the Constitution. That Thompson replied, yes, it is. When you're tweaking the water levels and the quality of water, you've got to take some ownership and responsibility, and our local government isn't taking the liability seriously.
Again, he's using fucking Chud. I go back to the concept of Chud virtue signaling.
Oh,
he's talking
absolutely.
About taking ownership, responsibility. It is like you have taken the actual priorities of people who are in touch with reality, and you have used all the language that people have to communicate those politically at a local level, and just pulled a big fucking slot machine and just randomized them.
So another thing about his like QAnon ass beliefs, like science wise, is that he is also a cancer survivor.
And learned nothing from that experience, I guess.
During the campaign, he talks about surviving esophageal cancer. So he's SAS QAnon business cancer survivor guy. And the woman he is running against is merely a military wife. So he wins.
That's not good enough. No, you need tier one Scott Adams.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, I've been shot.
He has so many characteristics.
He actually looks a little bit like Chad Scott Adams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He looks like they gave Scott Adams FMS.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit.
I'm looking at this image of him here with one of his marquees that says that he is proud father and S, I assume son. Uh-huh. Businessman, two words. global traveler, fantastic. Soldier, gas fitter, business graduate, cancer survivor, and much more. And I wonder how many rounds of how much more you could get through before he runs out of things, is my question.
It's really good.
It is, what he's done is he, and again, I do hate to reference too much sort of currently existing pop culture, but what he's done is he has created the backdrop for an I Think You Should Leave skit.
Oh.
I think.
Wearing really tight shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want you to pin the I Think You Should Leave skit.
Okay, thank you. I'm pinning it right now.
Pin it in your brain, please. Mm-hmm. So he wins the squeaker.
Everybody else, take a little pin.
Take a little pin.
Just put it in right
Tim
there
Robbins, and a little picture of Tim Robinson.
The only thing that's surprising to me is that he's not been some level of cop, right? Like, as I was talking about Queensland being sort of like, you know, cop Israel, but like, curiously, this guy's just been in the military, and that's really kind of like not good enough.
Yeah. You know? So he wins in a squeaker. He takes office in, the dates are important here. March 2024.
Okay. Okay.
You'll
note writing this down.
That I don't often do mayors that are currently the mayor.
Mm-hmm. No, that's pretty recent, I would say.
Yeah.
So he takes office. He pledges, also on that same image that I got here, I pledge accountability and transparency,
yep,
local
perfect.
Consequence for crime, improved roads, water, and sewerage infrastructure, mm-hmm. personal and business rates freeze for 4 years, increased support for elderly disabled and defense. Sale of unnecessary council-owned assets.
Oh, elderly disability and defense. Two of those seem like they're the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a reduced council debt is a big thing. So his big thing also is using his credentials as a businessman, two words, to get the local debt down.
I think my favorite one is Global Traveler.
Global Traveler is really,
to
really
Afghanistan,
good.
Afghanistan, does that count? Like,
so, of course... It turns out that iPro Solutions, the one that got him disendorsed by One Nation, was in debt $9 million Australian dollars. Workers were owned like $250,000 as well. He says in an interview later that I will get to that made him feel, quote, like crap. One of the last things that the business did was pay his ex-wife $35,000.
Incredible. Just like, I have to pay off my German ex-wife whose name I took.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I'm looking at the notes now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and me too. There's a note in red, in bright red, that says, Nova and Riley, stop reading.
Yep.
And then a second note beneath that, also in red, that says, I'm serious.
Yeah, well, because I don't trust either of you, because women are untrustworthy.
I didn't peek.
Mm-hmm.
You
I
peaked?
Did. No, I also have not peeked. We don't know what this is. I'm just looking at this photo of this discomforting-looking man in his two-tight shorts.
Uh-huh.
You know, two-tight thinking jorts. About what much more could be. Bergworthian, perhaps.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So,
okay.
Can
I scroll now, or shall I just stay on the blank page?
You may not scroll.
Okay.
I'll tell you when
you can
scroll.
Hands up. My hands are off my
laptop. You can scroll very shortly.
Okay, thank you.
1 month into his first term, of course, is Anzac Day.
Yeah, sure.
The Australian New Zealand, what is it, amalgamated?
You think about all the times that English people have ordered Australians to charge into machine gun fire and you eat a horrible biscuit.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. Yeah, the gotcha. Australian and New Zealand Army Corps, which is like the combined army that went to World War II. If you don't, if you're not familiar, if you are, say, an idiot American like me, I knew about it because I'd been to the Anzac Hall in Toronto.
Hey, we're going to use the Aussies to make the Italians run out of bullets at Gallipoli.
Exactly.
Australian per bullet.
So,
all right,
as you mentioned, they're in cop and military Israel of Australia. So it's a big Anzac Day in Townsville is huge. So Troy shows up to the local festivities in his capacity as mayor and seemingly cannot recall his service number. And his
my God. Oh my God. Oh, Jesus Christ. I thought it might go that way. I didn't dare to hope. Right. Like, because that's the thing, right? The whole thing I was thinking, SAS regiment. Yeah, sure. War crimes. Right. Unless.
So he's only wearing his father's medals.
No,
and everybody in town is so in the military or knows someone
because
in the military.
It's a military town.
It's the garrison city of Australia. Oh. And they all immediately lock in like, those aren't your medals. What do you mean you don't know your service number?
Yeah, because it's like it's the thing you cannot forget, like, you are getting the shit kicked out of you until you memorize it, and then you're getting the shit kicked out of you some more. I, like...
This is 1 month into his term.
Oh, just running for mayor, just like, no one's going to find me out. No one's going to know. No one's going to know.
Well, it's, oh my God.
Who could know?
So he orders a copy of his military papers from the Department of Defense, and he vows to make them public. And he sits down with a news magazine called A Current Affair, which is like Australian 60 Minutes.
Oh, that's where he's sitting in front of the signs. The thing is,
no,
right,
that's a different thing. I don't know what the fuck.
Okay, if someone's asking you your service number, right, mm-hmm. that's because they already suspect that you are lying about having been mm-hmm. in the military. So, like, I think it was
due to him wearing his father's medals. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And none of his. I'm surprised he didn't go the whole hog and just, like, you know, buy some of his own off of eBay. You know.
So,
yeah, I mean, because nobody
during the campaign has been like, that's weird. I was in the SAS regiment and he wasn't. This is a memorable looking guy, right? Like, you Google image this motherfucker, you're like, you know, if you've seen him.
It's
before.
Possible the entire Australian SAS just looks like him.
That's also probable. Yeah. And
he put on glasses, also, which makes him unrecognizable.
Like, if you're going to do this scam, right? Mm-hmm. Surely you do it in a town outside of Perth or something.
Well, you do it with a less elite unit, right? Like, if you're like, I was in the military, I like drove a truck. It wasn't exciting. I did it for a few years. It kind of sucked, but you know, I served my country or whatever. I can almost guarantee you nobody is coming up to you at like Anzac Day to be like, hey, got a few questions for you about your service record. Because like, you're not stealing something that's like hugely like suspicious to steal. It's the same as the guy who, frankly, free my boy, first of all, because they charged him under a 19th century law for like stealing valor, which is bullshit. But like, there was a guy here who came to like a remembrance thing and like laid a wreath and led the ceremony claiming to be a rear admiral, right? There's only like a dozen of those, right? So like, that's not plausible. But if you just go, yeah, I like stacked blankets in like a storeroom for a couple of years, fine. But like,
the
why
rear
would
admiral
you think
guy is
you
good.
Could get a? Yeah, he is.
The
like
rear admiral, because that's British Frank Abagnale III. I like that. That's good. Yeah.
But
that's
like this guy, why would you think you could get away with this?
Yeah, it's incredible. So he sits down with A Current Affair.
I need to like see a photo of him at the Anzac Day thing to see what the fit was. Like, was he wearing a uniform?
I believe because I already made the episode art. I believe if you go to the Google Drive where we put the locals, I've already put the episode art there, and he's wearing a regular ass suit with his chain of office and just a ton of medals.
Here's the thing, right? Okay, you are Troy Thompson, right? It's Anzac Day. You're going to like the ceremony and you're like, okay, Troy, we practiced this in the mirror. You're going to get through this and it's going to be fine.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
No, everyone's going to be so distracted. No one's going to be looking closely.
Yeah. Like, so
imagine his state of mind.
So he sits down. The thing that was sent to me is coming up. So he sits down with A Current Affair, which is basically like Aussie 60 Minutes.
It's much more, my understanding is A Current Affair is much more like Aussie, like Free Press. It's like much more, it's very right wing.
Oh, is it really right wing? That's interesting.
If those are his father's medals, right? And he's like, it's impressive. There's like two rows of them. He's wearing them on the right hand side, which you're allowed to do. That's the side you're like meant to wear them if you're wearing them like for someone else, right? What this is a failure to steal valor more than anything. It's like, he was already stealing valor when he was like, yeah, I was in the SAS, right? But then he failed to commit to that. You know, he didn't style that out. And at the last moment he choked and he was like, I'm not going to wear any of mine in air quotes because, you know, sort of nebulous reasons. If he had done, you know, probably still be mayor today.
Maybe. So he sits down for, we'll call it a current 60 minutes if it's right wing. He sits down for an interview, the worst interview I've ever seen in my life. This is May 30th, 2024, just 2 months after he was taken office. Here are choice bits, and you may now scroll.
Uh-huh.
Interviewer, you claimed during your campaign that you enlisted in 1989 and served for 5 years. Is that correct, Troy? No, And honestly, hand on heart, I thought it was 5 years. I actually thought it was 89 when I joined. When I got my report, I realized it was 91. He also admitted that the 3 years, not five, was not in signals or the SAS, but as a reservist and largely in the catering corps.
Ooh. That's, but you could have just done that. Okay, right. So we're dealing with a more specialized form of like the troops being, you know, troops and having like stupid names for everything, call this walting after Walter Mitty, the guy who like fantasizes about having an interesting life, right? Uh-huh. We're dealing with a more specialized form of this, which is you were in the military doing the like driving a truck, stacking blankets thing, but you wanted to be the tier one operator guy, so you just lie, right?
Yeah.
That's the like the sort of like, you know, bulk of the iceberg, I think, right? Because like it used to be, that's a fine tradition. It used to be that every sort of like, you know, fucking pub in this country had a major who everybody knew as the major who had been a corporal. Like it's just,
right.
That used to be something quite normal.
That's a whole guy in Chicken Run.
Yeah, exactly. And that is a whole ass chicken in Chicken Run. And I think it's bullshit that now we're like hauling them over the coals. Like, okay.
So, interviewer, were you a full-time soldier in the Army? Troy, never. You said earlier you haven't lied. If that's the case, would you at least concede that during your campaign you embellished the truth? Look, I can't say that I concede that because I didn't know my service number. I firmly believed until I received this report that I'd served 5 years.
But if you were in the catering corps as a reservist, you had a service number that you would know. So why wouldn't you... Like,
wait, was this
are you then thinking, right, if I like say my real one, someone's not going to sort of take it on faith. They're going to look it up and they're going to see that what I was actually doing was sort of like bayonetting peas for like 3 years. That's like, that's fine. It's fine to be in the catering corps. My grandfather was in the catering corps. He fucking killed more of his own side than the enemy, but like he was there. It's right. Not like
Well, you said once you got your service number and your service history, you'd be releasing it publicly in full. Do you still intend to do that? Look, I've had to rethink on that. I don't want everyone to know when I polished my boots and cleaned my rifle and did all those things. Was it a mistake?
At this point, any evidence of boot polishing or rifle cleaning would be desirable. Also, this leads me to think.
What?
This leads me to think. That, and again, I have not scrolled past the red text.
No.
He has had a big lie that he's been defeated on. And he has fallen back to a fortified second lie.
Uh-huh.
That is my prediction. I've not read past this.
You think he's also now stealing catering corps?
I think he might be continuing to steal. He's trying to see how much valor he can get away with.
Yeah, well, this is like on a DOD report, so it's harder to fabricate. Yeah. Was it a mistake to mention the SAS pre-election? I probably didn't say it right pre-election, but I certainly spent some time with people from SAS. I never purported to be in the SAS. He did. He very much did.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Just the kind of like misspeaking. So it's like, no, you got to keep it vague, you know,
vague,
if you're trying
to
do this. You got to like do the kind of like man of mystery thing and be like, well, I can't really say where I was deployed kind of thing, you know? Yeah.
Interviewer, tell us about your success in business. Troy starts laughing. I think I know where this is going to lead. So it's interesting. Interviewer, you couldn't manage $9 million. How are you going to manage $1 billion? Troy, it's so different. This is something that I understand really well.
To be fair, he is right. Those are pretty different numbers.
Yeah, I would say very much so. Is it good when the interviewer asks you a question and you don't just start sweating, you start laughing?
You start laughing. I know where this is going. Probably my lies. The Southport Magistrates Court has told us that in 2007, you were fined for 2 counts of forgery uttering. What can you tell us about that, Troy? I don't know anything about it. I'll be honest.
This guy seems to do quite a bit of forgery uttering.
Said he had been uttering some forgeries.
They also ask him about getting charged with attempted fraud, which appears to be more like shenanigans with his surname, according to him. No convictions were ever recorded. Interviewer, this is a copy of your LinkedIn profile. It says you have 2 degrees, one from Griffith University and one from Curtin University. Those have now been taken down. Why is that, Troy? Because I never completed them. But I started them off, and then life changed. It's that simple.
I mean, this is okay. You see where this goes in the same way that, like, it's a easy sort of like low consequence lie that a lot of people do. I know people who have like put like degrees they haven't finished on their CV.
Yeah,
I like dropped out of law school. I usually say that, but when people say, "Oh, you went to law school," I'm not necessarily going to correct them, right? So, like, I get it. It's but like to go from that to like I'm going to run as the mayor.
Yeah. Right.
And then once I'm the mayor, nobody's going to ask me mm-hmm. any questions. I don't think.
We're going to defeat the WHO. We're mm-hmm. going to defeat the UN. I'm going to give myself honorary degrees, and I'm going to retroactively enlist in the Australian SAS, and I'm going to edit myself into like Australian Generation Kill videos. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm doing backwards yeah. Stalinism. Stalinism from the right, which is when you put yourself into photos.
I'm gonna do Be Kind Rewind on like live leak footage of the Australian SAS.
So my favorite quote from this whole first interview is, quote, "Those who know me know that I've suffered concussions, 100 plus."
I kept banging myself over the head with the ladle when I was in the army.
Sorry. And also,
and after the like 700th time or so, I was like, I'm probably in the SAS.
I've suffered concussions 100 plus, and also
he's got like a linebacker amount of concussions from being an army cook and a like fraudster.
A linebacker suffers like 10 concussions. 100 is crazy.
During 3 years in the Australian army, he suffered 100 concussions, which I'm not going to do the maths on how many days between each concussion that is. But like, just I was in the catering corps and I got hit with a frying pan so much I stopped being able to read my beret badge.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I stopped being able to read my cap badge, and I thought it said SAS, and I also thought the beret was like khaki.
It is a concussion every 10 days. So
time for my sort of bi-weekly concussion.
Oh, I hate the weeks where I you know, every February it lines up that I get 3 in a month. I hate it.
I love this show so much because I've not finished the quote. Okay. Uh-huh. I'm going to read the whole quote. "Those who know me know that I've suffered concussions 100 plus, and also that I suffer from epilepsy. That's not an excuse, but what it says is you're going to forget things from time to time.
Sometimes I fall down and I like thrash around and start lying about my credentials and qualifications. So that's why when people like have epileptic fits, they like try and like put like a wallet or something in their mouth. Don't do this, by the way, it's really bad for you, but mm-hmm. Try and do that is to try and prevent them from like uttering falsehoods.
He's got
a really bad case of Townsville Tourette's, where you just start saying where you served.
Yeah, this is why I said to pin Tim Robinson, because I've been hit in the head so many times I started lying is an incredible.
It maybe explains some of the fluoride stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the interview closes out here. I know there's a lot of stuff to deal with, interviewer. Are there any more skeletons that we should know about, Troy? I hope not, but if there is, I'll own them.
I actually own the biggest collection of skeletons in Townsville.
I will own those skeletons. Here's the thing. Right?
I will own those skeletons.
I think mm-hmm. if you at some point during this,
yeah,
maybe during the failure to steal valor, if you had come clean and you had any degree of kind of public introspection about this, and you were like, well, my father was in the military, and like I was in a military town, and there's a kind of a weight of an expectation there, and I couldn't be that guy, so I lied and pretended to be that guy, right? Yeah. Obviously, they wouldn't forgive you because you were in like police Israel. They would flent you. They would kill you, right? Right. It would make no difference. It would be social suicide. But I would approve of you on the podcast.
Yeah, we'd make less fun of you on the podcast.
I think so. I mean, like, for instance, there's a New Yorker article called The Chameleon about this French guy, Frédéric Baudin, whose deal was, like, impersonating children, like missing children, or like presenting himself. He was like 30, but he was short, and so he would just like wear a hat to cover his hairline and be like, yeah, I'm 14. And every adult who came into contact with him was like, yeah, I believe this instantly, no problem.
Whoa.
But so in order to like sort of excuse that retrospectively, that like he was a chameleon, none of us knew he was a genius. But so like this guy had worked out a way of kind of like finagling this so that anytime you got caught, he would get very like French and introspective and philosophical about it. And be like, you know, maybe we all wear masks in life. And this worked every time, I would say.
I love him. That's so good.
And I love the guy, right? Like he's doing evil shit. It's a bad thing to do to like, you know, steal someone's identity. But it's sort of like, I can't be too mad about it.
Yeah, it's
and
not this good guy, behavior.
This guy could 100%. Listen, there's two paths, right? Mm-hmm. To me loving this guy. One path is to immediately get in there and be like, well, I'm an existentialist, you know?
sure.
The other one is you lie and lie and lie till your last day on this earth and you do not change in the face of any evidence, no matter how implausible it gets. They show you the service record saying that you were banging pots and pans together and you go, my enemies have falsified this. Because they were afraid of me. Because I was in the SAS.
I have such horrible news for you, Nova. He just keeps going, you got me, and then moving on.
That's the least satisfying thing to do. I hate this guy. He's weak spiritually. And not because of the stealing valor.
Yeah. He would never get into the SAS. This is the test.
This is the thing, right? Like, you don't get into the SAS by giving up on stealing valor. You get into the SAS by never giving up on anything, including stealing valor.
The thought process that has to go through your mind.
There's a greater SAS. The SAS of the mind, of the spirit, of the like human heart. And he isn't in that one either.
The special air spirit, yeah.
If you're going to have special air spirit, what has to be going through your mind as Royal
Marines
Commander, Troy Thompson,
it's a state of mind. You may already have it. This guy doesn't.
Right now, what you facing this, what you should be saying is, maybe the SAS are watching and they're going to see how well I don't buckle under pressure.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get the knock.
This is how I am about MI6 and constantly shit talking MI6 on my podcast about how a fictional MI6 officer is a cunt. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like I was actually in the Specialer Air Services and it's so secret that they changed my records so it looks like I was a caterer. But I was doing even more war crimes. I was doing war crimes that are illegal on other planets to do.
I believe that the Australian Army Catering Corps may have committed war crimes, but chiefly against Australian troops.
Yeah, I'm also a criminal on the moon.
There is more to this guy, by the way. I'm not done.
What?
How
many more characteristics could you possibly fit into one man?
How many more things can you claim to be?
No, well, it's not much more claiming. Well, there's one more thing. Anyways... We're only 2 months into his term. So the same day,
at this point, would you say his embattlement has well and truly begun at this point?
Yeah, his embattlement took a month because it was the Anzac Day.
Very quick TTE.
Which is a very, very quick TTE, which is maybe, it might be our lowest.
Yeah.
So the same day that the interview drops, he is after the interview, he is referred to the Crime and Corruption Commission for some reason.
I would probably say this seems like a guy they should maybe look into a bit. Yeah.
So the same day the interview drops, the entire 10-member town council, including his allies, they send a letter saying they have lost confidence in him and they call for him to step down.
We do not believe that your hands are registered as lethal weapons.
They are joined by even the Queensland Premier, who says, quote, "We are very concerned that by continuing to the mayor, you are damaging this beautiful city," the letter read. "We hope that you do the right thing for Townsville and resign and move on to deal with whatever issues led you into this predicament."
Being like officially petty.
"Seek therapy," they said to him. In early June, they have a formal vote of no confidence in the council, which passes unanimously. On Facebook, he says, "I have decided to take a leave of absence until the conclusion of the CCC investigations. I'm still mayor. I'm just taking a break for mental health reasons and also allowing for the investigation to take place without further pressures."
This is weakness. You should brazen this shit out. You're still mayor.
He's still mayor.
Like, they can't remove you.
"I'm taking a break because to spend more time with my 100 concussions."
You should reprint on your staff like fucking Molon Lay.
Like that formal vote of no confidence might be formal, but it's not effectual, right? They don't have confidence in you, but you can have confidence in you and the fake SAS you were in, and you can just not leave.
Yeah, I am the captain of my soul, he was quoted as saying.
Which was also my rank, captain in the SAS.
The Soul Armed Services.
That's right.
In July of 2024, he returns to the city council. In September of 2024, the state government...
Just that first meeting back, just like, hey, guys.
Well, he's at this point not allowing the press to come into the city council meetings. In 2024, September, the state government sends an advisor to work with Thompson and the council, basically to like restore functionality to the city. Well,
Thompson, like a mediator?
Essentially.
Or did they send advisors in the way that like America sent advisors to Vietnam?
Yeah, and he goes, this is actually kind of a core competency for me when I was in the SAS.
Yeah. Thompson, meanwhile, is like leaking stuff to the press and he's demanding that the guy he thinks the leaker is, who is a counselor named Joe McCabe, resign, who doesn't, obviously. He requested the advisor, though, and says, quote, "It is very clear that after the counselors all refused to agree to work with me for the benefit of the residents, they now need to have someone holding their hand to do that for some reason."
Uh-huh.
Just passive aggressive, whiny little bitch.
Again, I think this is evidence for soy right theory.
Oh, yeah. No, this is this is like your average Facebook QAnon guy who gets thrust into actual power and doesn't know what to do with it. This is the January 6th rioter standing around in the lobby of the Capitol Rotunda being like, oh, right, now what?
I just have to know how you get 100 plus concussions in the catering court. Is it just like every time I make the scrambled eggs, I bang my head off the front of the oven?
It is a fucking lie is how you do it. He's a liar.
You know what? I'm choosing to believe that of all of the lies told in this episode, I am choosing to believe that one is true. That he was concussed. Every 10 days, he suffered a horrible concussion.
Yeah, or there were more spread out, including when he was working at a computer job. So
Look, it's an average of 10 a day, but you know, some it's either feast or famine. It's like London buses. Some days you get 10 concussions, other days you get only one or two.
The numbers have been inflated by a guy we call Concussions George. In October of 2024, he is hit with something called a show cause notice to remove him by
October 2024. He's hit with something called a frying pan, giving him 101st concussion.
He basically removes him. It's, the state sending a notice to remove him from office by the state government minister who is on his way out, right as local parliament is dissolving while the CCC finishes its investigation. Thompson asks the replacement of that minister, who's with the liberals, the more right-wing party, to let him back in to, quote, give him a real crack at running Townsville.
Let me try. Mm-hmm. Hand me the controller.
Please. I haven't done anything wrong. The new guy looks into it, but can't do anything legally because this notice has been issued. So Thompson is suspended in November of 2024 for 6 months with pay while they finish this investigation.
That's the greatest punishment they can give you in Queensland as a sort of cop nation.
Is to pay
suspension with full pay.
$200,000 a year for, it's 6 months, it becomes 12 months. Thompson is, of course, keeping busy with, posting on Facebook.
Cooking your brain on Facebook. Yeah, classic.
While stood down on full pay, the Mayor Thompson has ramped up his social media presence. His Facebook posts include $100 gift giveaways, commentary on council matters, and information on his newly formed advocacy group, Our Community Matters.
Okay, the gift card giveaways, I can only imagine. Do we have any data on whether any gift cards actually left his hands?
I was looking into this for such a long time. I couldn't find fucking anything about the gift card giveaways and what they were. Aside in this one, like, ABC story. Last week, he polled followers on their preferred acting mayor and said there was no confidence in Anne-Marie Greeney, who holds the role. Mm-hmm. Basically, the town CEO, who's like the town manager, told him in the press to cut it out, but he just said, "I'm neither a counselor nor mayor. I'm suspended in my role. I'm a citizen of Townsville like anyone else."
God, this smarmy asshole.
I know. In January of 2025, he, of course, gets a pay raise.
You know what? He's done a great job of running Townsville.
It was a scheduled pay raise and the town couldn't do anything about it.
This is a beautiful lesson of democracy, is sometimes we have to pay this guy a massive salary for a year basically because the voters fucked up.
Yeah. Well, in April of 2025, he cannot take "you're suspended with pay for a year" for an answer. He lodges a discrimination claim saying he was discriminated against.
It's my religion to pretend to be a troop.
He was discriminated against based on his epilepsy, mental health, and political beliefs. He sought $200,000 for political discrimination, $250,000 for impairment discrimination, $200,000 for mental health discrimination, $250,000 for reputational damages and lost opportunity, and another $120,000 in aggravated damages.
That sounds like a really strong case to me.
He wrote in a submission.
Judges love when you just throw everything against the wall and kind of come up with the biggest number you can, right?
It would be really funny if it was true, though, that like all of these guys were like chiefly mad at him for being disabled and were like incidentally like, this epileptic fuck, who by the way is also lying about having been a troop.
Yeah, it's, or like, we hate him for having the exact same political beliefs as all of us also.
Mr. Thompson wrote in his submission that he'd felt he had experienced victimization and that fellow counselors had likened him to Donald Trump in the media.
He's a way bigger bitch than Donald Trump, which is strange because Donald Trump is a gigantic pussy.
Yeah, they have made comments that result in stories portraying me as a ranter, embattled, a liar, and not truthful, Mr. Thompson said.
That, okay, no, he has them there.
Yeah, they have been portraying him as embattled.
That is true.
They've been portraying him as both a liar and not truthful.
Also, embattled isn't something that, like, you are inside. It's something that...
It's embattlement. It's a state of mind. You may already have it.
No, I remember this one. Is embattlement is what's in your pants, and being a liar is what's in your heart.
I remember the gingerbread man.
The gingerbread mayor, yeah. Fuck yeah. Okay, so... In September of 2025, the crime CCC report comes out. He has somehow, I don't know how, breached the code of conduct by basically bullying a council worker over email for not getting back to him fast enough about some legal advice.
Oh my God, they got him on tax evasion!
They get him on being mean on an email.
The norms work!
They basically say, if you don't quit, you're fired. So he resigns, saying he will run in the new by-election and just win again. He comes in fifth.
What did that campaign look like?
It was a really, really quick campaign, so I couldn't find much on it. It was just him saying, let me back in.
Just like Troy Thompson, I wasn't in the SAS.
Yeah.
That's the lawn sign. That's what the lawn sign says.
I've been hit in the head so many times.
Troy Thompson. Still alive, I suppose.
100
Troy Thompson. It's got the like DPCU, like Australian camouflage that looks like a bunch of like balls and dicks. And like over that it says they hate me because I'm epileptic.
Wait, I got it. Troy Thompson, 100 concussions, 100% for you.
Amazing.
I think that's the sign over the camo, I think, over the dick and balls camo. Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect.
It's crazy how it looks like dick and balls.
In November of 2025, that full report drops. When he'd been asked about his esophageal cancer diagnosis in a current affair interview in 2024, he said, if I'd had esophageal surgery, and I think for about 9 months I lived off a tube, so I'd really thinned out. The CCC didn't find any evidence of any cancer or surgeries, just... weight loss surgery and complications from it.
God,
his cancer survivor medal was also not his.
They're gonna like hold on. So I'm scrolling back up to look at the marquee here and seeing what we can strike off the record.
Please,
proud father and S. We don't know. businessman, two words. Well, the business was extremely indebted and bankrupt, so maybe not. Is global traveler true?
Probably didn't go to Afghanistan to be a reservist.
Probably not. No.
Yeah. No.
Soldier, not true.
Uh-huh.
Get a gas fitter.
Maybe.
Maybe. Business graduate, we also know, was a lie.
Oh yeah.
Cancer survivor was a lie. So, out of seven things, on here, we're looking at like assuming that he is a proud father
and S.
And a gas fitter.
Well, hold on. Let's not start talking about gas fitters right now because there's a registry of gas fitters in Australia. I can find that out.
Oh
live.
My God.
Okay. While you look that up, Riley.
Why would you lie about that one as well?
Yeah. While you look that up, Riley, I'm going to. There was one final current affairs story about him that ran kind of recently.
Wait, so like he just fully just lied about having cancer?
Yeah. Thompson's conduct towards his fellow counselors was also put under the microscope after allegations of harassment, bullying, intimidation, and threatening behavior came to light. He was also investigated for disclosing confidential information. The Crime and Corruption Commission sifted through some 7 million electronic records, including almost 9,000 WhatsApp messages between Thompson and an unnamed advisor. Messages like, quote, I won't do anything until you say fire away. I think we kick Joe in the balls, punch the counselors in the guts a little later, and see how they cope. Should we send a media release embargoed for tomorrow? That way it has to be withheld. That is essentially a dummy media release that becomes real after they decide with you. The reply to the letter will dictate how they will become. I think they're probably having kittens about now.
This guy performing Mr. Army Man is so funny.
Yeah.
Like this email could have been me kicking you in the balls.
Yeah. Troy Thompson has issued a statement saying he did not commit any misconduct, wrongdoing, or criminal offense. It's understood corruption charges won't be laid, but the people of Townsville have given their verdict, overwhelmingly rejecting his bid to return to the office in a by-election triggered by his resignation earlier this month. Troy Thompson was offered an opportunity to be interviewed again. Knowing how poorly it went for him last time, it was probably smart to decline.
Yeah, he doesn't even want to be interviewed.
He refuses a second interview.
This is a sad man, and not even a compellingly sad man, thanks to you, Matthew, yeah. But like, he has no nobility of spirit. He has a kind of like baseness that repels me, and I don't know. Like, you hate to think of it where the guy pretending to be a rear admiral is like the Chad version of this guy.
Yeah,
you know?
And this is like, you know, this feels very, to me, like absolutely indicative of what happens when you put an actual Q-ass kind of person in power, is they don't actually, their whole thing is paper thin. They are emotionally weak. They don't have a coherence of ideology. They don't have any actual things they want to do. They want to do Chud virtue signaling. They don't, you know, their whole thing is fucking, it's fugazi. Yeah.
I found it. Sorry. This is actually worth saying. There are six registered gas fitters named Troy in Queensland. None of them have the last name Thompson.
Is one of them Birnbauer?
I think it's just very instructive, not to be like, the norms are right, the norms are wonderful, but like, when the norms sort of collapse on the right, you're left with this kind of like fantasist, you know? And I don't know. I always try and be empathetic to thieves of valor, right? Because like, valor is not an easy thing to come by, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? But like, come on, dude, the cancer. I don't think this man's even a global traveler.
I'm starting to doubt whether or not this man is an S. Anyways, Massey. that's my guy. That's Troy.
I feel emotionally kind of slimed by this. This is unpleasant. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Sorry for withholding information from you.
No, it's a roller coaster with a big drop in it, and I wouldn't have had it any other way.
I would have really struggled to not share this. I gotta admire.
Yeah. Had I known that he was making it up the whole time, you would never have gotten that reaction out of me to be like, oh yeah, the like, because it makes sense to be like, oh, the Q guy, the war criminal. Yeah, absolutely. Not even a real war criminal. You know,
you can't even. You lied to me of being a war criminal.
I was sort of worried through the first half where I was like, how much can I really sort of like hammer on this without, you know, because this guy sounds like a pussy, but in the sense that like, he's going to sue us for accusing him of doing war crimes. Well, let me be 100% clear. I retract enthusiastically any allegation that this guy may have committed war crimes in any sense because he wasn't fucking there.
Yeah, it's it's very strange to be like, you committed no war crimes, parentheses, derogatory.
Yeah, it's like so specific to be like, you were fantasizing about being a materially worse person than the person you ended up being.
Oh, man.
Sorry, right. No, I really wanted to be a murderer because the like social expectations were such that that was a cool thing to be.
Yeah. But he didn't take that path. He simply said, you got me, and put his hands up and went to the next thing. So that was Troy Thompson. Thank you so much for listening. This was a free episode.
Thank you.
You can, in fact, sign up and get double the mares at nogodsnomares.com. It's just $5 a month. Next week on the bonus episode, it is award season. So it is the first annual goodies.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And everyone, you know what? It's a lot of people are saying about certain mayors, oh, this one's got goodie buzz, but let's see, you know, who takes home the coveted golden statuette.
All the like, for your consideration stuff, you know, that's for the birds, right? Like, as members of the Academy, we conceptualize every mayor, and then we just...
The Mayor Academy?
Yeah,
we think of which one will be best.
The estate of Jesus Hill has been actually buying billboards on green lanes in London, so I can...
Well, we will see you there.
We'll see you on the red carpet. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Magical. Bye, everyone.